Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we are so glad that you are with us today. I have a confession to make. You have a very sleepy pastor this morning, because over the weekend, I was a keynote speaker, a worship leader, and a workshop presenter at the Illinois South Conference UCC Day of Discipleship yesterday. My dear friend, the Reverend Tim Powers Reed, who's right up in front here, he and I led that all together yesterday, and he drove me back here last night so that I could be here this morning, and we got back close to midnight, and I need a nap, something terrible. So my sermon is a little bit scattered because I outlined it in the car instead of like writing it all out and everything. So bear with me. I'm not winning any preaching awards today, but at least I'm here. And I am going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to be with me this entire time. Tim is going to be sharing a spoken word, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful spoken word that is in relation to the text today. And then also because of all of the stuff that I've been up to this weekend, and because I've got some other meetings in the afternoon and evening tomorrow, I'm going to take the morning off and sleep in a little and go from there. Oh, boy. Okay. What other announcements do we have?
I have a few like I did at the early service. Please continue to sign up, to be a liturgist. It does help out Pastor Jacob a lot, and also with his transportation for Sunday mornings. There was a few open spots for the end of this month, so feel free to sign up for that. And then also, I do have two open spots available for the next 3 months for coffee hour. They are May 25th, and I know that's Memorial Day weekend, so we may not have a lot of people here, but and then June 22nd is the other day that I have open. Let me know if you're available. Otherwise, you can email me. And then two other things I forgot to say at the early service, but we do have Easter lilies available for purchase. Please get your orders in by April 6th or before that if possible. We have 3 weeks from today. They are due. And then also we do have the food pantry cart. We have the sign on the front of it, so feel free to take a look at it and see what they need currently. Other than that, that's all I have.
Okay. And it sounds like, reiterate something that John O'Donovan said at the early service, it sounds like you all had a very lively and fruitful discussion as part of our first Wednesday of the Lenten series. And John and I will be doing that together on Wednesday night, talking about the Bible. So confirmation for adults, talking about the Bible. It's going to be a fun and wonderful discussion. So join us for that. Anything else?
Yeah, and then one other thing on Zoom. Oh. Deanne wanted to reiterate that April 6th,
yep.
The Church Creation Care presentation will be after the service. It's a one-service Sunday, so it'll be around 10 o'clock.
Very good. All right. Then, seeing no other announcements, let us share the peace of Christ with one another. Good morning. Peace be with you. Good morning. Good morning. Hi, Betty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'll move for him to get in here.
If you're comfortable doing so, please stand. Join me in today's call to worship. Siblings in Christ, our faith assures us that truth sets us free. We do not shy away from facing the realities of our time. We will not deny evil's existence and consequences. Let us gather in worship that God may guide our resistance. Join me in the opening unison prayer, please. Emboldening one, we pray for courage. We pray for moral clarity. We pray to practice love that does not abandon our neighbors. If threats arise, when risk abounds, and when good outcomes are not guaranteed, may we love anyway, as Jesus taught us, all the way to the cross, all the way to resurrection. Amen. Please stand for the opening hymn, number 429.
Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. We have kids that are coming up with us today. Right, look at them.
Good morning, y'all.
Here they come. Here comes Taylor.
Woo-hoo.
Here comes Trey. All right. Good morning. Good morning. What's tomorrow? Yep, it's Monday, March 17th. I think it's somebody's birthday out there, but I won't say whose. You're almost your next Sunday, isn't it? Oh, good. Her birthday is coming up, too. It's next week Sunday, the 23rd. You sure? I think it's the 23rd. I think it's next week. Yeah. That might be 1 week. Oh my goodness. Yeah, I have an Ireland shirt on, sweatshirt. It's my 2015 sweatshirt. I was lucky enough to go to Ireland, where they had the luck of the Irish, they call it. But you know, No offense to any Irishman in the congregation, but we probably don't need the luck of the Irish. Mm-hmm. We have God's faithfulness. Hmm. Yeah. You don't want to go to school tomorrow. You want to have off for... You have to pick up everything because it's St. Patrick's Day. You have to, oh, you too. You both have to pick up because tomorrow's St. Patty's Day. Okay. Well, today in Sunday school, you're going to learn a story about God's faithfulness and how faithful he is to you and to us. Do you know what faithfulness is? No, you know. Well, faithfulness is when someone follows through. Like if you keep a promise to your friends, or you tell mom and dad you're going to pick up your toys when you're done playing, so you pick up your toys. That's being faithful. Sometimes you don't pick up your toys. Yeah, sometimes that happens. And that's what I'm getting at today. God's faithfulness is so strong. He loves you so much that even if you don't pick up your toys, he still loves you. He's still going to be faithful to you. Oh my gosh. He just said, if you turn the Ireland flag upside down and put what in the middle?
A little blue thing.
A little blue thing. Then it's India's flag instead of Ireland's flag. We all learned something today.
Yeah.
Good observation.
Love it.
Yeah, God's faithfulness is so strong that he keeps his faithfulness to you and loves you every day, even if we're not always a good girl or boy. All right? Pastor Jacob, could you lead us in prayer, please?
Indeed. So you know the drill. I will say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For loving us so much.
For loving us so much.
And for teaching us.
And for teaching us.
How to be faithful to you.
How to be faithful to you.
Help us.
Help us.
Be faithful.
Be faithful.
In everything we do.
In everything we do.
And to share your love. Wherever we go. Amen. Oh, yeah, for one more second.
Good morning. Oh, I think you can do a little bit better than that this morning. I'm caffeinated, so good morning. There we go. It is such a joy to be with you today. My name is Pastor Tim Powers Reed, and I serve as the pastor of Trinity UCC in Belleville, Illinois. I bring you greetings from our congregation, where we strive to embody radical welcome, deep faith, and a justice-centered love. But beyond that, I'm here today because of a cherished friendship I have with your pastor. He and I walked the halls of Eden Seminary together, navigating theology, ministry, the grocery store, and maybe a few too many cups of coffee. Through it all, I've known him to be a pastor of deep integrity, compassion, and a fierce commitment to God's people. In addition to my pastoral duties, I'm the director of Rainbow Camp, a ministry dedicated to celebrating diversity and fostering a welcoming environment for all children, adults, and families. I also curate a blog entitled Pastor Talk, where I reflect on the intersections of faith, mental health, social justice, and everyday challenges. Today I'm especially blessed to share a spoken word with you, rooted in Psalm 27, a psalm of light and salvation, of courage in the face of fear, of waiting and trusting in the goodness of God. My prayer is that these words will speak to your heart, reminding us all that even in uncertainty, God is our refuge, our stronghold, and the one who calls us forward in faith. Thank you for welcoming me so warmly today. I am honored to worship with you. Love anyway. The Holy One is my light, so why should I fear? When darkness gathers,
when the ground beneath me shakes, when truth is twisted, when love is called weakness. I will not run. I will not hide. I will love anyway. Enemies rise. Voices whisper in the night, saying justice is too complicated, saying mercy is wasted, saying peace is just a dream. They tell me to stay silent, to say stay safe, to stay small. But the one who is faithful is my refuge, my shelter. I have seen goodness in the land of the living, so I will not be afraid. I will love anyway. Even when risks abound, when I do not know how the story will end, when my heart beats fast and my hands tremble, even when love demands too much, when it asks me to give more than I thought I had, I will love anyway. Not just in comfort, but in the storm. Not just in certainty, but in the unknown. Not just when it is easy, but when it costs everything. If love leads me to the cross, I will follow. If love calls me to stand, I will not move. If love costs me comfort, I will let it go. If love means I lose, then let me lose, because I trust in what cannot be seen. The Holy One is my strength, my steady ground. So I will wait. I will stand firm. And no matter the battle, no matter the fear, I will love anyway. I will love anyway. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim and Pastor. Our Old Testament reading for the morning is from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, this I seek, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For God will hide me in God's shelter in the day of trouble. God will conceal me under the cover of God's tent. God will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek God's face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. And our New Testament reading is from Luke 13:31-35.
At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, "Go, get away from here, because Herod wants to kill you." Jesus said to them, "Go tell that fox, 'Look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I did not write my sermon out word for word, because I wrote my sermon in the car on the way back yesterday, and I just outlined. So I outlined, and I'm gonna riff. So if I go too long, Alana can play that music like they play in award shows, you know. Might be copyrighted, she says. Yeah, you're probably right about that. Just kind of giving you a little bit of an idea of what I was up to. So I was invited to be a keynote speaker, a worship leader, and a workshop presenter at the Illinois South Conference UCC Day of Discipleship, which was a half-day event that was hosted at Tim's church. And I flew in late on Thursday night, got to St. Louis about 11:30 p.m. on Thursday, and then after the event, there were no flights that would allow me to get back here in time this morning, so Tim drove me the 5.5 hours to get back here. So you have a very sleepy pastor today, I am relying on the Holy Spirit a little bit more than usual to get through these worship services so I can go home and take a nap. We'll do what we can. And the Reverend Shanna Johnson, who is the conference minister of the Illinois South Conference, so Franz Riegert's counterpart in the Illinois South region, sends her greetings, and she says, "Thank you for sharing your pastor with us." Shanna is a dear friend, and really grateful that we got to be there together, and the fact that Tim and I got to spend some time together. He and his husband Shay have two cats that don't have a concept of personal space, and a dog that really doesn't have a concept of personal space. We had quite an adventure. There were tornadoes that went through the area on Friday night. Chronology is weird. from 10 o'clock p.m. on Friday until now, I think. You're still without power. And so Tim and Shay and I got ready for the day yesterday in cell phone light, because we had to leave the house at 6:15 in the morning, which, as you know, since I'm not a morning person, you know I must really love Tim, because otherwise I wouldn't do that. So, yep. Have any of you seen The Big Bang Theory? So Tim might have gone, Jacob, like Sheldon, you know, Penny. So it was a thing, but it was just a lovely, lovely weekend, and I promise this actually does work with the sermon today. So I'm not just yammering. So basically, what I was brought there to talk about was disability issues and disability justice, stuff that I talk with you all about all the time, and the theme of their event was Becoming Bold People of God's Welcome. Isn't that a great title? Becoming Bold People of God's Welcome. And we talked about various issues, especially around disability and what the church can do better and differently. That kind of brings us into some systemic violence conversations, because that is the theme of today: repenting from systemic violence. Now, what is systemic violence? That's a term that not everybody knows right at the tip of their tongue. So, one definition that I found is this: systemic violence refers to the organized and pervasive forms of violence that are embedded in societal structures and institutions, often perpetuated by state actors and systemic inequalities. This type of violence is not just physical, but it can also manifest through social, economic, and political mechanisms that disadvantage specific groups, leading to widespread suffering and human rights abuses. So for our media song this morning, we used a song by a young black woman saying, "If I have a son, he's never really safe. If I have a girl, I'll teach her to be strong." She had some comment on sexism as well. And in the bridge of that song, she said, "I saw a man lose his life all because his skin looked like mine." And of course, all of the brutality that is so often perpetrated on black folks in this country and all sorts of other places. There are all sorts of ways that systems have benefited us, perhaps benefited some of our straight, white, able-bodied, neurotypical people, but all those people who do not fit that description are a little less privileged. It sounds like when you met with John on Wednesday, you talked about ways that you in the community in Waupun have been persecuted for your beliefs and the ways that you are different from perhaps other churches because of the ways that you believe that are different from other churches in this area. And there are all sorts of other things that it sounds like you and John talked about, which I'm so happy to hear that it was such a wonderful and fruitful conversation. And I'm looking forward to continuing it on Wednesday. Um, but um, But so it sounds like you can find yourself in this too. You know, I think that it is it's easy sometimes to talk about things in an abstract way. You know, when sometimes it doesn't feel like we can find ourselves when we talk about justice issues. When, you know, can we find ourselves in the things we're talking about? And it sounds like we can. This is also present in our scripture for today. Psalm 27 is a psalm of lots of trust. It opens up by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear?" Right? And there is some really deep, beautiful love and trust language in the entire psalm. But the commentator Carol Bechtel reminds us that you can't have a psalm of deep trust without recognizing and knowing deep pain. The way that she says it is, this psalm arises out of a context of profound pain. She says, "Prayers like this don't spring out of nowhere, after all." And, you know, there are examples peppered all over. When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. And, you know, I wonder sometimes where we can find ourselves in those moments. Are there people that want to persecute us? Are there people that want to think of us as different and want to humiliate us and all sorts of things? And maybe the answer is, you know, I don't know if I can identify with that. You know, maybe that feels a little far away for some of us. And if that's true, the commentator continues, even if we are not personally beset by slanderous enemies, the deep trust that this psalm teaches is relevant to a culture beset with so much disinformation, propaganda, and lies. And said another way, even if we don't have enemies at our doorstep, we probably know somebody who does, right? You know, we talk about racism, we talk about homophobia, we talk about ableism, we talk about all sorts of other things. We talk about different ideologies, political ideologies. We're very divided people at the moment. We can make enemies out of one another in all sorts of ways. And Jesus was also being pursued in this way by Herod. He had an enemy at his doorstep. His disciples said to him, "You know, Jesus, we got to get away from here because Herod wants to kill you. We got to cover your tracks and we got to get out of Dodge." I'm mindful that I'm saying that in Dodge County. That's kind of funny. Am I in Dodge or Fond du Lac County right now? I don't even know. Dodge. Okay, good. Because we're literally right in the middle. Jesus says to his disciples, "You go tell that fox that I'm going to do some stuff. I've got some work to do. And then on the third day, my work will be completed." Right? He uses that term fox very deliberately. Fox, he uses fox as a metaphor because what does a fox do? A fox hunts its prey and devours it, right? You know, so a fox is a cunning predator. And, you know, this is not new to you, because I've told you over and over again that Herod considers Jesus to be an existential threat to the way of his rule in the world. And, you know, then Jesus, at the end of that text, weeps for Jerusalem, which is a city that he loves, and a city that he loves dearly. And he says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how much I have wanted to gather you up like a hen gathers her chicks. But you didn't want that, right? And he says that Jerusalem will not understand his message until after he dies. So, you know, Jesus is working to promote healing and love and liberation, and people don't know what he's doing because the people have been duped by people like Herod. And so what does this have to do with Christian nationalism? What does this have to do with what we're talking about throughout Lent? As Jesus endeavored to overturn systems of oppression, we must do the same in order to follow Jesus. You know, Jesus understood the assignment. Jesus understood what his job was. His job was to heal people. His job was to show a better way toward love and liberation. His job was to confront the sources of evil in the world. And then his job was to invite people to follow him in that way so that his message of love and hope could continue. So what do we do with that? How do we respond to that? You know, I think this church has a particular call in this area, and that's why I think I really am drawn to the work that we're all doing here together, because we have a particular call in this area. And our call is this: we might need to show the world, show the wider community, that we don't argue over theological stuff. We don't argue over who's welcome and who's not. We just assume everybody is. And instead, we follow the ways of Jesus into the future so that everybody in this community has what they need. You know, it's not the will of God that systems perpetuate fear and violence and the haves and the have-nots. That's not God's will. So as we go into this week, I think our question becomes, how should we do that? I think, and the answer to that question is, I think we do our part in the ways in which we can to disrupt the violence that we see in the world. If someone is being racist, if someone is being discriminatory or homophobic or ableist or whatever, sexist, you know, there are all sorts of ways that we can continue to disrupt that narrative, and in doing so, we share the love of God with each other. We protect the marginalized. We protect those who need protection the most. And we share love for one another. And in doing so, we remember that God is with us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Who shall I fear? And so, as you go into this week, may you love and love and love and love and love and love without fear, knowing that your call is to care for those in need. because that's what Jesus wanted us to do. And that's what Jesus himself did all the way to the cross. May it be so. Amen. So we continue with the song that is part of our series. Shameless self-promotion since I wrote this. I don't always show and tell, but you know. Sing with me if you remember. We repent from injustices that benefit us. We respond for our neighbors with courageous love. And we sing full of hope that God changes our hearts. We are learning we're all on the way. We are learning we're all on the way. I've got a verse. For too long we've relied on ourselves, haunted by our fear. Enter into a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's start with a time of silence as we think of those folks. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So I have a few prayer requests that have been shared with me. Jane Dirksen Cheney asks for prayers for continued healing and strength after her bowel resection surgery. So continued prayers for Jane and for Steve. And for all of those taking care of Jane. God, in your mercy. Also for Rick Hartrink, he is going to the doctor tomorrow with hopes for a good medical outcome. He is hoping that his cancer is gone But if it's not, he'll need more surgery. So he's hoping for the best there. God, in your mercy. Many of you have asked me how my mom is doing. She had surgery on Thursday, as you know. I can report an excellent outcome. Her cancer was actually on her diaphragm, not on her liver as we originally thought, which is much better because they didn't really want to take out any of her liver because, you know, that's just kind of, that's important. Well, your diaphragm is important too, but, you know. So what they ended up doing was they took off a little tiny section of her diaphragm, and they think they were able to remove all the cancer. And they are hoping for clean margins. And if not, she'll be doing some radiation. But I think her chemo days are over. So that's a great, great thing. Pretty much the best possible outcome. And even better, we thought she was going to spend a few days in the hospital, but because of all that, she is home now, which we had no expectation that she would be home this fast. So really, really good news all around. And so I asked her, you know, yesterday how she was doing, and she said she is tired. She said that getting up and sitting down are the hardest. Because with the fact that they had to take a little part of her diaphragm, you know, she has to get her breathing sort of back to baseline, and it's, you know, she gets winded a little bit more easily than what she has. They were a little bit nervous about the possibility of a collapsed lung. But so far that hasn't happened, so hoping that continues in that direction. For my mom, whose name is Melanie, as she continues to heal, and for my dad and my sister Emily, who are taking care of her, and for her medical team as they think about the way forward, God, in your mercy. Any other prayers this morning? Yes, Rick. Alana's coming with a microphone.
With my surgery, I'm not allowed to fly for 3 months. So the prospect of sitting in a car for 17 hours to go to Montreal does not seem real positive either, let alone the fact possibility of a third car stolen. So our daughter-in-law, Gabrielle, and our new granddaughter, who we have not met yet, are flying in this week to visit us, so we're very grateful.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So traveling mercies for Gabrielle and what's... Lou. For traveling mercies for Gabrielle and Lou. God in your mercy. Anything else today? Yes, Tim.
A few requests for all those that are without power in St. Louis.
Yes.
For safe travels. Yes. For myself, and for lots of caffeine along the way at all the gas stations.
For all of that, God in your mercy. Anything else today? Yes, Diane.
I don't have much to report for an update with my sister, Rachel, with her breast cancer journey. She will know more this week. She did have an MRI on Thursday, so we'll hopefully get good news.
Yes, yes, indeed, for Rachel as her health journey continues. God, in your mercy. Anything else today? Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. With thanks for John for his leadership in my absence on Wednesday, and for all of the ways that his ministry impacts his church. God, in your mercy. Anything on Zoom?
No.
Okay. Then let us be in a time of prayer. God, in your grace and love, you remind us of the ways that we can continue to care for one another. You remind us of the ways that systems of violence want to take over our lives. We ask you to continue to help us resist those systems, that everyone can have what they need. Embolden us and empower us to be truly loving in these difficult times. Embolden us and empower us to truly care for one another, to make sure that everybody has what they need, both materially and spiritually and all sorts of ways. We ask for your hand of grace and mercy to be with all of those in our community who need it most, for Jane, for Steve, for Melanie, for Bob, for Emily, for Rick and Mary and Abby and Abe, for Rachel, for Gabrielle, for Lou, for all of those who need protection and care and love, that you provide in a particular way, O God. And help us do what we can to interrupt the systems that make it so that people in our community and around the world don't have a safe place to lay their heads, don't have enough to eat, live in poverty, and experience discrimination, and war, conflict, and abuse in all of their ways and forms that they present themselves. We ask all of this in the name of your Son, Jesus, who showed us the way, even to the cross, and taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give your gift to the ushers as they come around with the plate, or you may give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you do so, may you give with generous hearts as we share our gifts for the ministry of this church and the ministry of the Church Universal. Join me in the prayer of dedication. God of justice and truth, generation after generation, systems of violence call us to complicity. Without change, we know these systems will leave life and land to demise. Make us faithful disruptors, holy agitators, champions of accountability, that we may break destructive patterns and crack open possibilities for new life, near and far. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 621, For the Healing of the Nations. My friends, receive these words of benediction. Unwavering in confronting evil, unceasing in dreaming of better ways, unwilling to sacrifice our neighbors for the profit of some, uninterested in covering over the sins of systems past and present, may we go in confidence. The Spirit, our sustainer, goes with us. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.